You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Check out the site, all the good stuff we have there for you to lead you into Week 15. It opens tonight with the Jets traveling to face the Ravens, the 5-8 Jets, the 11-2 Ravens there. So mismatch there to start the week. You can check out our breakdown of that show and that game here on Matchup Wednesday, but we have to move on with Matchup Thursday, so you can go back and listen there. Pretty much we know the Ravens are in good position to dominate the Jets, and the Jets not looking so good that game, but we'll have the takeaways from that game regardless for you on Lineup Friday as we go into DFS deep diving there, as well as looking at injury reports for you. But first, we got to take our time to go in depth with the second half of the Week 15 schedule. We hit the first half, like I mentioned, so you can go back and listen to that. And we give you the second dose today there, so still 8 more games to talk about. Love to break down the full slate of games, especially with so much on the line here in fantasy football with the playoffs here. Maybe you're in the semifinal round, maybe in the final round, maybe you're just starting, but wherever you're at, you need to know everything about these games and what's going on to make the best lineup decisions here. So let's dive right into our first game that we'll talk about. We still have to wrap up the 1 p.m. Eastern time window. We'll look at the Eagles and Redskins. That's where we left off. The Eagles are 4.5-point favorites, only at 39.5 over under this game, so not expecting a lot of points in this one. The Eagles are really shorthanded. We know that. No Alshon Jeffrey, maybe no Nelson Aguilar again. Their wide receivers are dwindling. They don't have Jordan Howard. It's basically the Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, Carson Wentz show to try to move the ball. We saw a little bit of Boston Scott and Miles Sanders as well. The Redskins did have a big lead against the Eagles way back in Week 1. That was with Case Keenum starting, and they were just moving the ball up and down the field against the Eagles. The Eagles pass rush hurting with no Derek Barnett. They're still very good against the run, so I can't recommend Adrian Peterson this one. He'll probably get the volume, so if you're desperate, you can do that. But they're still probably going to give him 20 carries. Hopefully you'll get 80 yards and can maybe scratch out a touchdown there, but that's what you're hoping for with Adrian Peterson. It's not a very high upside play. Chris Thompson, however, has a little bit of appeal, was used a lot in the passing game last week with Darius Geis going down again. They shut down Geis here. Chris Thompson back in his familiar old role. The Eagles can give up catches to running backs, and you figure the game script could be where the Redskins are trailing a little bit, but it's pretty tight here. The 4.5 tells you that necessarily the Eagles are not going to run away with this game or blow them out. So you can see a lot of Peterson in that sense. If the game is somewhat close, the Redskins are going to keep feeding Peterson. So I don't love Peterson this week, but you could do a lot worse just based on a guy touching the ball here. But I feel like the game's scripting the end and the way things are going to break down for Dwayne Haskins, a lot of dump-offs to Chris Thompson. Keep in mind they could be a little healthier at receiver this week, Paul Richardson and Trey Quinn. If you look at Terry McLaurin, good spot for him against this Eagles secondary. Really came through, had a nice rookie splash in the very first game there. That was with Keenum, but he did come on a little bit with Dwayne Haskins last week. Came through with a touchdown and a tough matchup against the Packers, so that gives you a lot of hope in this much easier matchup on the outside. And Kelvin Harmon, a little bit of a DFS tournament contrarian play here on the other side. They have a good connection to him and Dwayne Haskins, so that's where I would go to think about the Redskins, but really McLaurin is the most viable playing asset here, and if you need Peterson, you can go there, and in deeper PPR, you can consider Thompson, who's been picked up a lot on the waiver wire for desperation this week in that format. Obviously, you're not going to go with the Redskins' defense. Eagles' defense is a tough one to trust, right? I mean, you look at the last couple matchups against the Dolphins and Giants, we thought, okay, we're in business, but simply don't have a lot of playmakers there, and that's the biggest thing, is they don't get to the quarterback very well. They had one monster game against the Jets on the road. That was an absolute mess spot with Luke Falk at quarterback. But other than that, they just haven't been really good. So I'm not sure I want to trust the Eagles in this matchup here, and certainly not next week against the Cowboys. Now, with their offense, I mean, Carson Wentz can have a solid game. I think he could easily go over 300, hit 250 to 300. But maybe looking at one or two touchdowns here from him. Could be a lot of field goals here from Jake Elliott. So Carson Wentz, again, if you need him, he's okay. Two QB leagues definitely is a start here. In one QB leagues, he's the borderline in the 13-14 range to me this week. Just doesn't have a high ceiling with this low over-under in this game. And no little boost from receiving corps. He can't expect Zach Ertz to score multiple touchdowns or Goddard Ertz to just blow through the Redskins in this game. So keep that in mind. You're just not going to get a very big game from Carson Wentz. Certainly not the way this game is structured. And the point total really hints at that hard in this one. So Ertz are definitely playing. Dallas Goedert has a lot of appeal, obviously, with all the wide receiver issues. They're probably going to be stuck with J.J. Arcega-Whiteside as the number one, and he's a rookie. You have a converted quarterback there in Greg Ward there that played at Houston. He's your other receiver, so it's pretty ugly here for the Eagles. So I think it could be also a spot where they just go Miles Sanders here, use a little bit more Boston Scott out of the backfield as well, and really control the game that way. So field goal fest, running, maybe a little defense is a little bit better than what they showed against the Giants there for the Eagles, but overall not too appealing for fantasy. The next game we look at as we turn to the 4:05 p.m. Eastern Time window there on Sunday, the Jaguars and the Raiders. The point total here is 45.5, 6.5 favorites the Raiders. It's the last game in the Coliseum here as the Raiders transition to Las Vegas in 2020. So a little bit of motivation there. That's why you have a little bit of a bigger spread than you would expect in this game at home. So they're compensating for that for sure. The pride factor with John Gruden's team, the last home game there, and plus the Jaguars stink and they've been blown out consistently here by three possessions in the last five games. So 6.5 seems pretty reasonable here for the Raiders. I think it's a little low just by the way their defense is playing very poorly right now at the moment. Let's look at them. I mean, Derek Carr, I just wouldn't trust him still in this matchup. The Jaguars are still decent against the pass. Plus, where is the production going to come from beyond Darren Waller? I don't see it at all. I mean, Tyrell Williams is totally faded here. Could have some trouble with A.J. Bouye in this game. So when you look at overall the Raiders, I mean, it's slim pickings here for Carr to find production. Foster Moreau is even out now, the second tight end. So Darren Waller is the only viable player that you can go here. Ronnie Harrison still a little bit banged up for the Jaguars at safety. And looking at the backfield, Josh Jacobs, we got some good news from him that he could play through the shoulder injury, return to action after missing the game last week against the Titans. Otherwise, it's DeAndre Washington pivot. The Jaguars have been very bad against the run. Marcell Dareus going down hasn't helped. Neither is Miles Jack. So up front, in the middle, they're really weak right now. Their linebackers are kind of scrambling to make plays. So I figured they're going to feed Jacobs. The Raiders have not shied away from doing that. If he plays, maybe you'll see a little bit more of Washington, but Jacobs still has to be played as a potential high-end RB1 this week. If he doesn't, then I like Washington as a high-end RB2, maybe a little bit more than that at home against the Jaguars there. So I think it's going to be a little bit better defense, a little bit better running, but not necessarily a game that I trust to totally be a shootout here this week. And now Gardner Minshew's on the other side, not a bad 2QB league player in Superflex. Not necessarily trusting him on the road. It's a tough place, the black hole for a rookie to play. Didn't look all that good, returning a little bit rusty in that lineup. Also maybe without DJ Chark. He's expected to travel with the team, but very iffy to play. So a lot of Dede Westbrook and Chris Conley in the mix here for the Jaguars, as well as Leonard Fournette. I'm trying to channel what Derrick Henry did in the matchup against the Raiders. The Raiders were solid against the run, but they've kind of fallen apart here of late. They have a sneaky pass rush at times, so that could get after the Jaguars a bit. And Minshew, but again, the matchup is too good in the back end for the Raiders, especially with the run setting up the play action for Minshew to not at least look at him in deeper leagues or, again, two QB situations this week, and maybe a DFS play as well, maybe a stack with either Westbrook or Conley on the cheaper end assuming Chark sits out. So I think Chark could be a game-time decision. He's going to travel, so that's going to be a little frustrating. Obviously, if Chark is in, he's 100% in your lineup against this atrocious Raiders secondary there for you this week. Now, the next game we move on to before we take our first break, the Browns-Cardinals also at 4:05. You look at this one, the Browns are 2.5-point favorites on the road. It's a 48 over under here, so it could be a lot of scoring this one. Let's start with the Browns. Baker Mayfield, can you trust him totally? The Cardinals are a different animal than the Bengals. The Bengals have actually started to play well against the pass of late and more of a team that you could run on, where the Cardinals are pretty vulnerable all around, but especially in the air against the pass. Controlled environment, no elements here at all. So Baker Mayfield with Odell Beckham Jr., we're going to still stick with him and hope he gets through. But Jarvis Landry looking like a very good spot here. David Njoku, if he plays and gets involved. He's a little bit banged up with a knee injury coming back from the wrist last week. Was kind of warmed up and brought in slowly. So we have to get an indication that he's going to really be active here in terms of both playing and also producing to really want to trust him against that Cardinals matchup. We saw it went thud with Vance McDonald and the Steelers last week, so definitely it can be an anomaly to what we've seen with the Cardinals with the list. And again, Njoku very tough to trust at this point in the season, considering he's been out for most of it and hasn't done much even upon return here. So keep all that in mind with that, but Landry and Beckham certainly have a lot of appeal this game, as well as, of course, Nick Chubb locked in as an RB1 and Kareem Hunt looking a lot like an RB2, especially in PPR now with his usage and snaps and touches behind Chubb in this offense. So good things all around for the main Browns players. Now you look at the Cardinals, same thing for them. I think Kyler Murray you can look at. Christian Kirk could be a little difficult. The Browns secondary is playing a little bit better with Greedy Williams and Denzel Ward, so keep that in mind with Christian Kirk. But certainly you can look at Kyler Murray. We just don't know where the production is going to go. Could go to Charles Clay, could be spread around to Larry Fitzgerald. We just don't want to trust things around Kyler Murray. And in the backfield, don't really love Kenyon Drake here with his limited usage and production. The Browns are decent, better than you think against the run. You can run on them. The volume might say you need to use Drake, but not just really thrilled, so I would avoid him in DFS. And the David Johnson randomly being now a receiving vulture out of the backfield. Once the feature back, now he's a guy that's stealing touchdowns from Kenyon Drake. That's where we're at with the Cardinals. So Kyler definitely has the most appeal. I just don't know where the production come. It could come on his own legs as well in this one against the Browns. They have a decent pass rush now with Olivier Vernon looking like a little bit better even without Myles Garrett. But that was going to flush Murray a little bit. So a lot of his production this week in fantasy is going to be on the ground. Pretty good DFS play. Also kind of a deep league back-end QB1 here, as well as Baker Mayfield in this particular game. So that's three games now in the second half of the schedule. That leaves us with five more to talk about. But first, I got to tell you about Spotify Wrapped. If you're a Spotify listener, use Spotify Wrapped to show us your top Locked On podcast for the year. Take a screenshot and tag us Locked On Live on Twitter, and we will share and retweet with you. We'll be right back here to look at three more games in the 4 o'clock window on Sunday's Week 15 schedule. All right, let's continue breaking down the games for you here in Week 15. It's the Vikings and Chargers. The Chargers are only 2.5-point underdogs in this one, 45 or under. I actually like the Chargers to win this game. There's a lot of reasons for it. So let's start with the Chargers, shall we? I like Philip Rivers' matchups with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams to throw downfield this week. Came off a solid game. The Jaguars, everyone is pretty much lighting up the Jaguars, but that's the kind of game we always expect from Philip Rivers. A couple touchdowns, no mistakes when he's on. That's what you see from him. Vikings secondary reeling. Now Xavier Rhodes is a little bit banged up as well as being ineffective. So this is a good spot for Mike Williams to keep it going, make a few big plays, maybe get in the end zone again. That'd be nice. Hunter Henry, I think it's going to be harder for him because the Vikings are pretty good against the tight end, but you're going to start him. He did get a touchdown even with his limited targets and production elsewhere last week. And Allen, they'll move on the outside. And so these wide receivers can really help Phillip Rivers play well. Now, I'm not going to jump and go after Phillip Rivers too much because he has a pretty low ceiling as well as a floor that can come crashing down at any point. The Vikings are not an untalented defense up front that could give him some problems beyond the offensive line. So Not going with Rivers, but going to trust Williams and Allen here this week. Henry could be bottled up. Just be expecting that if you play him. But again, you may not have better tight end options here this week. Now, of course, the backfield, Melvin Gordon, Austin Eckler, they're automatic starts. The Vikings, the linebacker core is a little beat up. They're typically good against the run, so that's a little concern for more so for Gordon straight up. But Eckler, we know they can get in space, but there's some confidence there. 2 weeks ago in that game against the Seahawks, you saw both Rashad Penny and Chris Carson do some damage here. So if I'm going to trust a little bit more in the DFS, I like Eckler a little bit more than Gordon. You look at the touches, and Gordon was effective, got the touches, and did get a touchdown last week, but Eckler way more explosive back with higher upside there. So definitely Gordon, Eckler, Williams, Allen, the principals, and Henry, of course, if you need him, put him in there this week. I also like the Chargers defense a little bit as well. This is why I don't love the Vikings. Kirk Cousins against a secondary with Casey Hayward and a Desmond King. Then up front, you have Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa. Now Derwin James lurking. I don't really love anything of the Vikings. I mean, you have to go to Stephon Diggs based on the volume. Adam Thielen may return here. We'll monitor that, but I guess you're stuck playing Diggs and Thielen if they're in, but remember, Desmond King is very good in the slot. You got Hayward could shadow Diggs here easily downfield and contain him. The Chargers have been, when they've been on point, they've shut out defenses. Remember the game with Aaron Rodgers and how they struggled, the Packers on the road here. That could certainly happen with Cousins here. So Dalvin Cook obviously in a good spot. Alexander Mattison a little beat up behind him, so that's good for Cook. He should get most of the volume, but not feeling Kyle Rudolph here in this one at all against the Chargers. They're better with James there again in coverage. So tough matchup for most things in the Vikings offense. So I'd stay away from them in DFS. Again, if you need Diggs and Thielen just by where their status is as wide receiver twos or threes, I think you have to put them in there, but I don't think I would extend Rudolph. And I think the Vikings defense is also a trap this week on the road, even though Phillip Rivers can turn over the ball. I also think this could be a higher scoring game than 45 points. Our next game is the Falcons and 49ers as we go from 4:05 Eastern time to 4:25. This is a Kyle Shanahan and Tevin Coleman revenge game. And we'll see how that goes, but I can't trust Coleman in this one. I can't trust Matt Breida. Raheem Mostert, if you're going to start 49ers back, he's the guy. The Falcons have been a little bit better against receiving backs this season, but still can give up some things on the ground. They're a little bit middle, a little bit better than that in terms of stopping the run, so Mostert can have a decent day. The volume and the usage, they love him right now. You can definitely play him. The 49ers 11-point favorites as well, so they should be in position to run, and Mostert has been seeming to be the lead guy over Coleman, but you can see a little extra Coleman this week. Maybe Coleman will be a little bit motivated to play the Falcons, who didn't re-sign him here, had a backfield mess there going forward, so that said, Shanahan can deploy him well, know the weaknesses of this Falcons defense, and go after them in that way. So it wouldn't surprise me if they gave Coleman randomly a few more touches in this game and make it more complicated with his backfield with Mostert and Breida. But again, right now on surface, based on production, who's been doing the best here, you'd say it's Mostert you go with. But Coleman, maybe a little bit of a wacky one lineup tournament play this week, because we know he can explode for some big games at home, even with limited touches. Now in this passing game, Emmanuel Sanders, got to fire him up. No Desmond Trufant out for the season. Isaiah Oliver, their second corner, also banged up for the Falcons. So you're looking at Sanders and Deebo Samuel, great spots to produce. I like Samuel's a little bit more than Sanders. He's been a little bit more consistent over the past month, but Sanders, we know from his Saints games, can smash it as well. George Kittle in a great position, and that means Jimmy Garoppolo, we really like to stay hot at home against this Falcons defense. Depleted secondary, not much of a pass rush. Decent run defense, all points to him having another big game here for Kyle Shanahan, channeling Matt Ryan in 2016, the MVP. Speaking of Matt Ryan, it's not terrible here. There could be some garbage points, but I just don't see a very high ceiling for Matt Ryan this week, so that's a little bit of a concern for me here in this game. So, I'm not totally trusting Matt Ryan. I know the 49ers pass rush will beat up with Dee Ford hurting. You've Richard Sherman and Kawan Williams in the back end. So Julio Jones, however, I'm going to go there because, again, Sherman looking like he won't play with the hamstring. Probably there. No Calvin Ridley on the other side. Jones has to be targeted enough. And maybe this is the big Jones game we're looking for in garbage time. I would temper your expectations, but the volume should be high. The matchup is pretty decent without Sherman, who's playing shutdown level here. So that kind of changes the things a little bit. But at the same time, Jones could be the target of the 49ers secondary, get some double teams, and to make people like Russell Gage and Zacchaeus and all these random guys try to beat them instead this week. Austin Hooper gets a break here because Jaquiski Tartt probably going to miss another game with a ribs injury, being very careful with him. He's a key coverage guy at tight end stoppage for the 49ers. So I could see Devonta Freeman being shut down, the volume helping Jones and Hooper, but still not loving Matt Ryan because this also could go disastrously the other way. He's a bit boom or bust the way Phillip Rivers is in this particular matchup, but volume should be there enough for Jones and Hooper to produce as you need them this week. Now, we move on to the next game. This is the marquee game in the 4 o'clock window. It's the Rams and the Cowboys. Now, the Cowboys are underdogs in this one by a point. 48.5 is the over-under. I really like the Rams in this game. I mean, the Cowboys' defense is just a mess, and the Rams' offense in a groove now. They found it because they're using Tyler Higbee. Why are they using Tyler Higbee? Well, Gerald Everett, number one, is out with a knee injury. Second is that he gives them a little bit of versatility where they can keep him in for the run game to help Todd Gurley. Playing off the run, he's very dangerous, a little bit more so than Everett, who's more of a move space tight end. Higbee's that inline guy that can slide out and make catches, athletic enough to do damage as well. So Cowboys' Jeff Heath could play in this game, but he's really banged up. They were bad against the tight end anyway, so that's a good spot for Higbee to stay hot. Third straight gate, great matchup for him in this spot. He's really become the third option with Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. Woods is locked in the way he's playing. Finally got in the end zone last week. Cooper Kupp got in the end zone last week. The Cowboys really struggled in the slot, gave up some big games to Cole Beasley and Anthony Miller back-to-back. So great news for Kupp here with Woods and Higbee, all worthy plays, as well as Gurley. And that says that Jared Goff is another decent play. It's tough to trust Jared Goff on the road, but it's a controlled environment. No weather issues here. Bad defense. He can come through in this one, and it could be a very high-scoring game with that 48.5 total where we think it's going to go easily over. Now, on the Cowboy side of things, Amari Cooper is probably going to see some of this Jalen Ramsey matchup that could be pretty brutal for him, but that means good things for Michael Gallup against Troy Hill and others. So, again, Cooper, you're going to play, but I don't love him this week in this matchup against Jalen Ramsey. But things are going to open up elsewhere for Dak Prescott. The tight ends can get open here. Blake Jarwin, Jason Witten not playing them, but that's going to help Prescott produce this week. Ezekiel Elliott out of the backfield as well. The Rams are decent in covering with their linebacker core, but I think the Cowboys will have success throwing to different guys. They can also work Randall Cobb in the slot here. So Dak will get his numbers in some way. Cooper a little bit limited. Gallup in a good, great spot to do some damage on the other side this week. I think we'll see a little bit more Cobb, a little bit more tight ends. Ezekiel Elliott will be fed well in this game. And Tony Pollard should return to maybe cut into his work in the passing game. But Elliott is a ticket, the best way to kind of win games. The Rams can be run on here for sure. So like as many things as you can, the only player that can really say fade, especially in DFS, is Cooper this week with that Ramsey matchup, and you're obviously avoiding both defenses in this game. We still have two more games to talk about, the Sunday night game and the Monday night game, to cap up our look at week 15, the schedule breaking games down in depth. But first, I got to tell you about Casper. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for quality sleep surface with the right amounts of both sink and bounce. Get $100 toward select mattresses by visiting casper.com/lockedNFL and using LockedNFL checkout. Terms and conditions apply. If you can't visit Casper right now, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. We'll be right back here to break down the final two games of Week 15. All right, as promised, two more games to get to, Sunday night, Monday night. It's a good place to close. And we'll go with the Bills and Steelers. And, oh my gosh, the 36-point over-under says, not great for fantasy. And the implied total's not good for either team as well. We're looking at 20 points or less here, as the Steelers are mild home favorites, 1.5. And you look at this, It's going to be both teams trying not to mess up in this game. And that's basically how offense will be operated. So maybe the Kickers, Chris Boswell and Steven Hauschka, will be the best fantasy producers in this game. But this makes a lot of sense. This defense is on both sides. They're very tough. The Steelers have been nasty. So John Brown, Cole Beasley, Devin Singletary, Josh Allen, the main guys, I just don't feel them for the Bills. Obviously, you may need to play Singletary or Brown based on your matchup, but you certainly don't need to play Allen or Beasley with the Steelers' strength all over the field defensively. I'm avoiding all the Bills as much as I can, a game I don't want to necessarily even go showdown slate with because it's so tough here to navigate and low scoring is just brutal. So, again, avoid all the Bills you can possibly if you've got some decent alternatives, except play the Bills defense. That's some team you can certainly play. It's on the road, but it's Duck Hodges. So Devlin Hodges, I mean, I can't trust Juju Smith-Schuster coming back with Tre'Davious White. I can't necessarily go Vance McDonald. He's got a concussion as well. The young receivers, Deontay Johnson, James Washington, you got to fade them hard in this matchup as well. So there's one player I do really like, however, and it's a potential sneaky stack this game if you're going showdown, is James Conner. Looks like he's going to return from the shoulder injury. I think the Steelers really need him because Benny Snell having some fumbling issues, Jalen Samuels not being all that effective in the passing game. So I don't think they're going to hesitate to give James Conner, if he practices a full all week, 20 to 25 touches in this game, grind it out. So great time to return for James Conner. The Bills' run defense can be vulnerable, so he's by far the best play in this game. And then Steelers' defense as well. They can make things happen against Allen in this game, but not going to the receiving core at all for the Steelers. And Conner kind of cleans up that mess of Snell and Samuels and Kareth White and all that garbage that has not played as well as James Conner overall in both capacities. Finally, we'll close looking at the Colts-Saints game on Monday night. The Saints are 8-point favorites, so a little bit more than a touchdown. 46.5 is the over-under for this one. So the Saints, let's start with them. You're starting your principals, Drew Brees, Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, hoping for a little bit better. I know the Colts' run defense can be okay with Darius Leonard and all that, but we'll see. Kamara's tough guy to bench. He's kind of like Saquon Barkley. You have to play him, hope for the best, and see what happens. But season has just been tough for him. Kind of just use him as a receiving back. The touchdowns aren't there. He was due for the touchdown regression, but not in this way. I mean, it's been pretty brutal since week three. He hasn't scored. So, again, tough break. But PPR, Kamara certainly has a little bit more appeal than standard right now, but you're still playing him in either format. Davis Murray has a little appeal. It's just hard to predict his touches. He had significant work last week, then he would get 10 or 12 touches, then he had a game in between against the Falcons where he was hardly involved, so you never know. So part of that is the Taysom Hill conundrum cutting into both Kamara and Murray, so I can't really go with Murray in this game, especially when you don't feel so great about Kamara. So basically Michael Thomas and Jared Cook, if he can be cleared with a concussion, he gets the extra day here to maybe get cleared from the protocol. If he's in there, he has to be in there as well. So Thomas and Cook with Breeze is where you're trusting in. Kamara, just by default, you're going there. Now with the Colts, Marlon Mack is a tough one because I want to play Marlon Mack, but I'm a little bit afraid here. I have him in one league because he doesn't catch passes, and the Colts could certainly be behind in this game easily against the Saints on the road. They could be blown out of the building. That means you're going to have a lot of Nyheim Hines and all that, so, but still hard to trust that happening here. So Mack, you probably have to go with him in most leagues because your best option for volume here, but you're pretty much touchdown dependent. Keep that in mind. The Saints are pretty good against the run. We know that. The blip, again, the of what the 49ers did. 49ers, completely different animal of an offense that the Colts are, even though they have a good offensive line. Saints are a little banged up at linebacker, by the way. So that's where I think the Colts are going to be attacking with Jack Doyle a little bit more in the passing game. He was disappointing last week against the Buccaneers. I think he rebounds here because the Saints, those linebackers were key to controlling the tight end, A.J. Klein and Kiko Alonso. So they could be missing time here. That opens up the middle of the field a little bit. Jack Doyle has to get some volume here. Zach Pascal maybe in deeper or tournament situations or the showdown slate, you look at Marcus Johnson here to maybe make a big play, but Pascal has to be there with his targets here with Campbell, Paris Campbell, and T.Y. Hilton probably out again. So you figure a lot of it is going to flow through Doyle and Pascal. That makes Jacoby Brissett not a bad streamer this week either. I think he can get to 215-2, do a little bit of running in this game as well as the Colts figure to be trailing, and that's why I don't necessarily like Mack. I think the game flow is going to go towards the Colts having to pass a little bit more in this game. I like the Saints defense at home Monday night, get a little maybe some turnovers from Brissett in that sense, and some sacks as well, make up for the back end of the 49ers game where they were terrible. So all that said, again, pretty simple here to diagnose this game. Trust more in the Colts passing game and the Saints principles here in this one. So there you have it. There's a breakdown of all the games now as we talked about eight more here on Matchup Thursday. Go back to listen to Matchup Wednesday if you missed anything there with the game breakdowns for the week. And don't forget about tomorrow either. We'll have Lineup Friday as promised, a look back on this Jets-Ravens game Thursday night, to DFS look at DraftKings, the value plays there across positions, and of course the injury updates take you into Sunday and Monday's action. So anything you missed there, we will have you covered, and we'll get a better idea of game status by then as well. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this is Vinny Iyer. We'll see you tomorrow to close the week.